Hey y'all, and welcome back to Gimme the Creeps with Abby and Daniela.
Hello, hello.
And if you're new, welcome. And you're in for a treat, as we have several things to get into today, which will be so fun.
Very exciting.
Starting with a theory I wanted to discuss with Daniela, and we kind of texted about this, so I'm going to be reading from our text, but last episode really had me thinking. It might have been the edible that had me really thinking, but her episode had me thinking. So let's dip into a little bit of religion. It might be even a little bit blasphemous, but don't Christians have all kinds of theories, beliefs, and conspiracies that are offensive anyway all the time? So they will forgive us. So just to refresh y'all's memory, last week, Daniela covered elementals, beginning with fire, where different cultures and ancient civilizations would celebrate or worship these deities or deities, with certain rituals and, I don't know, just means of appreciation, I guess, to keep things running smoothly. I guess how any, like, culture deals with deities, like keep them happy, don't punish us type deal. Just like a little a symbiotic relationship, like this year's harvest should be good if we do X, Y, and Z. So following along those lines, I'm just going to read my little message. Religion has dimmed down its practices. Ancient mythology and deity worship used to be so much like stronger, and after years it seems Christianity is the main religion and is actively trying to spread as it always has, like colonizers do, and like Manifest Destiny and even mission trips where Christians go overseas and find communities that have never heard of Jesus Christ, and so they try to like recruit,
convert.
Recruit. Same thing.
Basically.
It's very like culty if you think about it. Like, oh, here's these underprivileged people. Let's show them the way and build them a school. And hopefully not give them a disease that they can never get rid of again. So colonizers in this way of like of where I'm going with it is like if colonizers are the Antichrist, like everything's going very well for them. If Christianity is like, because you know they say like Lucifer or you know the angel that's like the most beautiful, that's supposed to look like the most helpful, most faithful to God, ends up being the person to betray the message, betray God himself, betray Jesus, whatever. So I'm thinking like they're coming, it's like wolves in sheep's clothing type deal, like, oh, we're hidden in plain sight, doing these Christian things that are like masked to look positive, and these are all positive things and positive messages, where in reality it's like evil being spread, but it's under the shroud of whatever. Anyways, so the practices lost have caused harm to humankind. If faith is real, the physical practices and rituals to give thanks to gods and goddesses and the elementals have decreased compared to in the past, and the sins are too great compared to the high worship of the current civilization. And by sins I just mean like people are taking advantage of the earth is one way to look at it. And so we're not getting positive results out of that, obviously, which that's like logical anyways, without having to even consider a divine like intervention or whatever. But we're not taking care of the planet. So that's one way to look at it. And then I wrote, humanity is weakened and gods are angry and punishing us on earth. And the new faith is on to serving itself. Christianity is the true evil if there is one, and it's disguised as pure and trustworthy. And those are my notes.
Interesting. I do like that.
So if watered down religion does nothing, if worship is a transactional relationship between humans and deities, and the other side will win, and soon this planet will be hell on earth. So anyways, that's what. And the framing of like Wiccan and other ritualistic like practices and stuff that ever existed as being evil was like on purpose. So they're like tricking us to like stop doing the right things. I don't know.
I love that. I love all of that.
I just thought that was interesting.
Theory.
I can't be the only one that has thought of
that. I'm sure.
I did feel very, I was like, what? why have I never considered that point of view before? So here I go texting Daniela in the night about anyways. So yeah, so that was my little spiel. Who knows? Who knows? I don't know. I just thought it was interesting. If, hey, they're doing it right. If that was the way to, God is like, darn it. He's like, I got to come up with a new plan now.
Yeah.
She's got us. Okay. So next on the agenda. A couple of days ago, we got the tremendous news that O.J. Simpson finally died.
We sure did.
Don't know too much about the guy, but from what I know about him, he's gross and evil and good riddance.
Yes.
So it's nice to know he's down there right now looking up at us.
Yeah.
What do you think hell is like? Do you think it's like a personal hell, or do you think all the hell is for everyone?
Personal hell. I honestly think it's a personal hell.
Really?
Uh-huh. Yep, I think each person, whatever, but who knows? I was going to say whoever or whatever fucked up shit you did, like your most fucked up thing that you did in life is what you have to relive. It reminds me of the Coven episode of...
That's what I was... Oh, my God. Yes, exactly. I just rewatched that. Yeah, you stay... It just plays in a loop. That would be so horrifying. Oh, my God, when she's folding towels at the Kmart or whatever.
Yes. Yes. I loved that one.
What would be your hell? Perfect.
Oh, God. I can't even... There's so many terrible memories.
You're like, let's not speak them into existence. Let's not. What would be OJ's hell?
I'm probably doing it right now, honestly.
Oh, it's just every day. Just, you can't tell. You can't tell you're in hell. That is creepy to think about. I don't know what OJ's hell would look like, but I hope he's not having a good time at all.
I'm sure he relives.
Bad time on the field, maybe, when he was playing football?
No, it was him murdering his wife over
But and
over.
You would think he would be so glad to do that. I guess maybe after a while it'd get kind of old, but you would maybe think that would have been his thrill of a lifetime. Flip. What?
Maybe the roles flip, though.
Oh, she gets to kill him over and over?
Yes, or what's his name? What was that man's name that was with them? With her?
I
can't remember Ronald? His name, which is maybe...
Oh, God, I don't want to get this wrong. Yeah, let me, Nicole and I think Roy, let me look it up. Because I don't want to get it wrong either. Ron.
Ron.
Ron Goldman.
Yes, there it is. Ron Goldman.
Yeah, I mean, even if OJ himself didn't do it, he definitely had somebody. He was abusive. Oh, I can't. One of these days we're going to have to really get into it. I still have that book that I started reading a long time ago, but I put it down and I need to pick it back up, called Outrage, about how OJ actually did get away with...
Oh, interesting.
He really did get away with murder, like, I honestly. So. Even if he didn't stab them himself. But yeah, we'll get into it one of these days. That's an interesting case, because if that would have happened... Oh my God. Like, if that would have happened like last year, he would have just gone to prison. But
yeah,
with what was going on in the 90s in LA and everything, it was like, oh, great. This is not going to go how it's supposed to. But anyways, I have this idea that after we die, we have the option to go back in time when you're alive and mess with yourself. Because lately I'm thinking that there's a ghost in my house, but what? I think it's just future me messing with myself. Does that make
what?
Sense? I really think so. I really That's think I'm like...
a trip and a half. Like, I think what?
I'm goofing around, clowning on myself and trolling myself lately, I feel like.
Abby, that is fucking...
Because who else really would be touching my butt?
That's weird that you say that, because I've literally felt like someone has been pulling at my hip
Like
the last 2 days. That is so trippy that you said that.
That's weird, right? I don't know. I turn around, I'm like, hello? And then I can just picture myself standing over there laughing at myself. Like, you dumbass. You've
been spending way too much time by yourself.
You're not
That's
lying.
All I can say.
Hey, is it not healthy? I mean, yeah, it's not healthy, but it's fun, so.
It's fun.
And you only have yourself to blame. Okay, anyways. I just think that that is such an interesting way to think about it. If time isn't real, I mean, time's a rubber band or whatever they say.
Do they say that? That
it's a rubber band? I've heard that before. It's something. I mean, it ain't a straight line. That's for dang sure. Yeah. So, moving on swimmingly, which some people did attempt to swim. Who knows how that went for some? And that line reminded me of Lord Farquaad when he goes, "Some of you may die, but that's a sacrifice I am willing to make." Yes. We're going. Thank you. We're going true crime adjacent here as we venture to our paranormal side of this show. Let's discuss where some of the most violent criminals had to go.
Oh.
One officer for every three convicts, and the security was high. Let's see if you can guess where I'm going with this. The temptation of escape came in the form of, you can clearly see the city. The shore appears to be so close. But if you make it out of the walls of this prison itself, the powerful ice-cold waters were unforgiving, not to mention the great whites that swam about. The fog is so disorienting, so if you make it into the water, you better make sure you don't lose your way.
I think I know what you're talking about.
However, if you do get in the water and you panic and you don't know what to do after that, at least 50 yards from the shore you just left, there's a little rock called Little Alcatraz.
I knew it!
There we are. If you're lucky, you can wave a white flag from there and hope that they come get you nicely, but there was punishment for the attempt, obviously. So yeah, we're going to Alcatraz today. Good old San Francisco Bay. Let's see. I'm going to go straight to this website here to give me a brief history. But first, I'm going to Wikipedia for some location information. Alcatraz Island is a small island, 1.25 miles offshore from San Francisco, California, in the United States. The island was developed in the mid-19th century with facilities for a lighthouse, a military fortification, and a military prison. Now I will head to the other website, which is a government official government website, bop.gov, Federal Bureau of Prisons. The name Alcatraz is derived from the Spanish Alcatraces. In 1775, the Spanish explorer Juan Manuel de Ayala was the first to sail into what is now known as San Francisco Bay. His expedition mapped the bay and named one of the three islands Alcatraces. Over time, the name was anglicized to Alcatraz. While the exact meaning is still debated, Alcatraz is usually defined as meaning pelican or strange bird. So they say. In 1850, a presidential order to set aside the island for possible use as a United States military reservation. The California Gold Rush, the resulting boom in the growth of San Francisco, and the need to protect San Francisco Bay led the U.S. Army to build a citadel or a fortress at the top of the island in the early 1850s. The Army also made plans to install more than 100 cannons on the island, making Alcatraz the most heavily fortified military site on the West Coast. Cannons. Together, the most fortified thing. Together with Fort Point and Lime Point, Alcatraz formed a triangle of defense designed to protect the entrance to the bay. The island was also the site of the first operational lighthouse on the west coast of the United States.
Wait, pause. I just realized that you pronounced triangle correctly this time.
Triangle instead of triangle?
Triangle, yeah.
Dang it.
I'm sorry. Continue. I had
to. Go back to Barney's school. Continue. By the late 1850s, the first military prisoners were being housed on the island. While the defensive necessity of Alcatraz diminished over time, the island never fired its guns in battle. Its role as a prison would continue for more than 100 years. In 1909, the army tore down the citadel, leaving its basement level to serve as the foundation for a new military prison. From 1909 through 1911, the military prisoners on Alcatraz built the new prison, which was designated the Pacific Branch U.S. Disciplinary Barracks for the U.S. Army. It was this prison building that later became famous as The Rock.
The Rock.
Oh, dang it. I missed my little thing that I was going to say. I guess I'll say it later.
I was going to say, can you smell what the Rock is cooking?
What the? I don't know anything about wrestling. Was that a wrestling thing?
Yes.
See, I'm such a lame-o. Because, you know, whenever I say mine, you're not even going to laugh because of how lame it is. But anyway.
Stop it.
We'll see. The U.S. Army used the island for more than 80 years from 1850 until 1933, when the island was transferred to the U.S. Department of Justice for use by the Federal Bureau of Prisons. The federal government had decided to open a maximum security minimum privilege penitentiary to deal with the most incorrigible inmates in federal prisons, and to show the law-abiding public that the federal government was serious about stopping the rampant crime of the 1920s and 1930s. Life at the prison. While several well-known criminals such as Al Capone, George Machine Gun Kelly, Alvin Karpis, the first public enemy number one, and Arthur Doc Barker did time on Alcatraz, most of the prisoners incarcerated there were not well-known gangsters, but prisoners who refused to conform to the rules and regulations at other federal institutions, who were considered violent and dangerous, or who were considered escape risks. The average population was only about 260, 275. The prison never once reached its capacity at 336. At any given time, Alcatraz held less than 1% of the total federal prison's population. Many prisoners actually considered the living conditions, for instance, always one man to a cell, at Alcatraz to be better than other federal prisons, and several inmates actually requested to transfer to Alcatraz. But while USP Alcatraz was not the America's Devil's Island that books and movies often portrayed, it was designed to be a prison system's prison. If a man did not behave at another institution, he could be sent to Alcatraz, where the highly structured, monotonous daily routine was designed to teach an inmate to follow rules and regulations. At Alcatraz, a prisoner had four rights: food, clothing, shelter, and medical care. Everything else was a privilege that had to be earned. Some privileges a prisoner could earn included working, corresponding with and having visits from family members, access to the prison's library, and recreational activities such as painting and music. Once prison officials felt a man no longer posed a threat and could follow the rules, usually after an average of 5 years on Alcatraz, he could be transferred back to another federal prison to finish his sentence and be released.
Wow.
The island's most famous prisoner was probably Robert Stroud, the so-called Birdman of Alcatraz, who spent 54 years of his life behind bars. Stroud never had any birds at Alcatraz, nor was he the grandfatherly person portrayed by Burt Lancaster in the well-known movie. In 1909, Stroud was convicted of manslaughter while serving his prison sentence at the U.S. Penitentiary, USP, McNeil Island, Washington. He viciously attacked another inmate. This resulted in his transfer to USP Leavenworth, Kansas. In 1916, he murdered a Leavenworth guard and was convicted of first-degree murder and received a death sentence. His mother pleaded for his life, and in 1920, President Woodrow Wilson commuted the death sentence to life imprisonment. It was Stroud's violent behavior that earned him time in segregation. During his 30 years at Leavenworth, he developed his interest in birds and eventually wrote two books about canaries and their diseases. Initially, prison officials allowed Stroud's bird studies because it was seen as a constructive use of his time. However, contraband items were often found hidden in the bird cages, and prison officials discovered that equipment Stroud had requested for his scientific studies had actually been used to construct a still for homebrew.
Oh, shit.
Well, work hard, play hard. Stroud was transferred to Alcatraz in 1942, where he spent the next 17 years, 6 years in segregation in D Block, and 11 years in the prison hospital. In 1959, he was transferred to the Medical Center for Federal Prisoners in Springfield, Missouri, where he died on November 21, 1963. And here we move on to the escape attempts. Over the 29 years, 1934 to 1963, that the federal prison operated, 36 men, including two who tried to escape twice, were involved in 14 separate escape attempts. Of these, 23 were caught, 6 were shot and killed during their escape, and 2 drowned. Two of the men who were caught were later executed in the gas chamber at the California State Prison in San Quentin for their role in the death of a correctional officer during the famous May 2nd through 4th, 1946 Battle of Alcatraz escape attempt. Whether or not anyone succeeded in escaping from Alcatraz depends on the definition of successful escape. Is it getting out of the cell house, reaching the water, making it to land, or reaching land and not getting caught? Officially, no one ever succeeded in escaping from Alcatraz, although to this day there are 5 prisoners listed as missing and presumed drowned. One of the many myths about Alcatraz is that it was impossible to survive a swim from the island to the mainland because of sharks. In fact, there are no man-eating sharks in San Francisco Bay, only small bottom-feeding sharks, which that was disproven recently. There's footage of, because there's a lot of seals around that area, mm-hmm. So I mean, the sharks are going to eventually find their way over there. But anyway, so this is incorrect. But the main obstacles were the cold temperature averaging 50 to 55 degrees Fahrenheit, the strong currents, and the distance to the shore, at least 1.25 miles. Prior to the federal institution opening in 1934, a teenage girl swam to the island to prove it was possible. Fitness guru Jack LaLanne once swam to the island pulling a rowboat, and several years ago, 2 10-year-old children also made the swim. 10-year-olds? Jeez.
Golly.
Swimming a mile. If a person is well trained and conditioned, it is possible to survive the cold waters and fast currents. However, for prisoners who had no control over their diet, no weightlifting or physical training other than sit-ups and push-ups, and no knowledge of high and low tides, the odds for success were slim. And beginning with the first attempt, 1936, titled Headstrong. April 27th, 1936, while working his job burning trash at the incinerator, Joe Bowers began climbing up and over the chain link fence at the island's edge. After refusing orders to climb back down, Bowers was shot by a correctional officer stationed in the West Road guard tower, then fell about 50 to 100 feet to the shore below. Oh, he died from his injuries.
Jesus, that sounds terrible. I mean, how did he not explode on impact?
Right? 50 to 100 feet, geez. 1937, so after a year later, or a few months later after having that happen, I guess somebody still thought it was worth to try. Storm is brewing. December 16th, 1937, Theodore Cole and Ralph Rowe worked in the mat shop in the Model Industries building. Over a period of time while working in the mat shop in the model... Oh, what the fuck? They did say that. Why'd they say that twice? Anyways, over a period of time while working in the mat shop in the Model Industries building, they filed their way through the flat iron bars on a window. After climbing through the window, they made their way down to the water's edge. Oh my God, this gives me chills just thinking about it. Like, mm-mm. I don't know, like getting out and then being scared to death. Like, oh my God, hurry.
Yeah.
To the water's edge and disappeared into San Francisco Bay. This attempt occurred during a bad storm, and the bay's currents were especially fast and strong. Most people believe Rowe and Cole were swept out to sea. Officially, they are listed missing and presumed dead.
Jeez. Yeah, now definitely. What the
Lord, plot twist. You stay overnight by yourself on Alcatraz and there's 2 old guys?
No.
And they're like, hey, we're Cole and what's his name? Ooh, nope. Could you imagine? They've been there the whole time.
That would be insane.
They're alive. Okay. And then a few months later, freaking another attempt, 1938 workshop attack. So May 23rd, 1938, while at work in the woodworking shop in the Model Industries building, James Limerick, Jimmy Lucas, and Rufus Franklin attacked unarmed correctional officer Royal Klein with a hammer. Klein died from his injuries. The 3 then climbed to the roof in an attempt to disarm the correctional officer in the roof tower. The officer, Harold Stites, shot Limerick and Franklin. Limerick died from his injuries. Lucas and Franklin received life sentences for Klein's murder. Dang.
Mm-mm.
Unarmed? I mean, come on. Okay. 1939, the failed 5. January 13th, 1939, Arthur Doc Barker, Dale Stampfill, William Martin, Henry Young, and Rufus McCain escaped from the isolation unit in the cell house by sawing through the flat iron cell bars and bending tool-proof bars on a window. They then made their way down to the water's edge. Correctional officers found the men at the shoreline on the west side of the island. Martin, Young, and McCain surrendered, while Barker and Stampfill were shot when they refused to surrender. Barker died from his injuries. Mm. 1941, using the force. May 21st, 1941, Joe Kretzer, Sam Shockley, Arnold Kyle, and Lloyd Barkdahl took several correctional officers hostage while working in the industry's area. The officers, including Paul Madigan, who later became Alcatraz's third warden, were able to convince the four that they could not escape, and they surrendered. Really?
Hmm. Yeah, what?
Like, look, guys, let's all just calm down. Okay. 1941, cold as ice. September 15th, 1941, while on garbage detail, John Bayless attempted to escape. He gave up shortly after entering the cold water of San Francisco Bay. Later, while appearing in federal court in San Francisco, Bayless tried again unsuccessfully to escape the courtroom. Easier, I guess. That would be me. I'd be like, oh, shit, okay, I made it. And then I get my little toes in the water, and I'm like, oh, shit.
Yep, mm-hmm. I can see it.
I'm bailing. I'm out. It's too cold. Okay. 1943, Spider-Man. April 14th, 1943, James Borman, Harold Brest, Floyd Hamilton, and Fred Hunter took two officers hostage while at work in the industry's area. The four climbed out a window and made their way down to the water's edge. One of the hostages was able to alert other officers to the escape, and shots were fired at Borman, Brest, and Hamilton, who were swimming away from the island. Hunter and Brest were both apprehended. Borman was hit by gunfire and sank below the water before officers were able to reach him. His body was never recovered. Hamilton was initially presumed drowned. However, after hiding out for 2 days in a small shoreline cave, Hamilton made his way back up to the industry's area where he was discovered by correctional officers.
Mm-mm.
You try to hide out on the island, then you're like, you know what? I'm hungry. I'm going back.
Yeah, that's fucking...
There's bugs out here. 1943, Missing Sock. August 7th, 1943, Huron Ted Walters disappeared from the prison laundry building. He was caught at the shoreline before he could even attempt to enter the San Francisco Bay.
Mm-mm.
1945, Uncle Sam. July 31st, 1945, in one of the most ingenious attempts, John Giles was able to take advantage of his job working at the loading dock, where he unloaded army laundry sent to the island to be cleaned. Over time, he stole an entire army uniform. Dressed in the uniform, Giles calmly walked aboard an army launch to what he thought was freedom. He was discovered missing almost immediately. Unfortunately for Giles, the launch was headed for Angel Island, not San Francisco, as Giles hoped. As Giles set a foot on Angel Island, he was met by correctional officers who returned him to Alcatraz. Dang it.
What an idiot.
It's reminding me of that movie Ants. what is it called? Impersonating a Soldier.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's what it's called. Okay. 1946, Battle of Alcatraz. May 2nd through the 4th, 1946. During this incident, known as the Battle of Alcatraz and the Alcatraz Blast Out, six prisoners were able to overpower cellhouse officers and gain access to weapons and cellhouse keys, in effect taking control of the cellhouse. Their plan began to fall apart when the inmates found they did not have the key to unlock the recreation yard door. Shortly thereafter, prison officials discovered the escape attempt. Instead of giving up, Bernard Coy, Joy Kretzer, Marvin Hubbard, Sam Shockley, Miran Thompson, and Clarence Carnes decided to fight. Eventually, Shockley, Thompson, and Carnes returned to their cells, but not before the officers taken hostage were shot at point-blank range by Kretzer. Encouraged by Shockley and Thompson, one officer, William Miller, died from his injuries. A second officer, Harold Stites, who stopped the third escape attempt, was shot and killed attempting to regain control of the cell house. About 18 officers were injured during the escape attempt. The U.S. Marines were eventually called out to assist, and on May 4th, the escape attempt ended with the discovery of the bodies of Coy, Kretzer, and Hubbard. Shockley, Thompson, and Carnes stood trial for the death of the officers. Shockley and Thompson received the death penalty and were executed in the gas chamber at San Quentin in December 1948. Carnes was 19.
Jeez.
What the heck? And he received a second life sentence. So he was only 19, so I guess maybe that's probably why they didn't want to kill him. I don't know. But he got a life sentence, that's for sure.
He was a baby.
I mean, it has to be that. I don't know if it has to be that bad or if some of these criminals just really wanted to keep committing crimes and they're like, I'm out of here. Okay, 1956, docked. July 23rd, 1956, Floyd Wilson disappeared from his job at the dock. After hiding for several hours among the large rocks along the shoreline, he was discovered and surrendered. 1958, backstroke. September 29, 1958, while working on the garbage detail, Aaron Burgett and Clyde Johnson overpowered a correctional officer and attempted to swim from the island. Johnson was caught in the water, but Burgett disappeared. An intensive search turned up nothing. Burgett's body was found floating in the bay 2 weeks later. Mm-mm. 1962, Hollywood. Made famous by Clint Eastwood in the movie Escape from Alcatraz, Frank Morris and brothers John and Clarence England vanished from their cells and were never seen again. A fourth man, Alan West, believed by some to have been the mastermind, was also involved. However, he was still in his cell the next morning when the escape was discovered. An investigation revealed an intricate escape plot that involved homemade drills to enlarge vent holes, false wall segments, and realistic dummy heads, complete with human hair, placed in the beds so that the inmates would not be missed during nighttime counts. And they were made of papier-mâché. I saw a piece of the History Channel on YouTube, and it was pretty hilarious. But yeah, the heads were made of papier-mâché, and they took, from the barbershop, they took hair and they glued it. It was pretty cool.
That is really fucking interesting.
It took a lot of patience because they had to slow, like, and like I said, every hour there were counts, and there were like guards everywhere. So they would slowly work on widening the vent. And as they would have to stop every time they knew a count was coming. And so they would put the fake wall that they had to make out of papier-mâché also onto the vent to cover it and make it look like it was still there. But in reality, there was a hole that they were making behind there.
Interesting.
So that took a lot more patience than the other guys just being doing their work duties and being like, now let's go, now let's try. Yeah. Now so this took a couple of days, I think weeks actually. This took weeks. So anyways, let me get back to it. Human hair placed in the bed so the inmates would not be missed during nighttime counts. The three men exited through vent holes located in the rear wall of their cell. They had enlarged the vent holes and made false vent wall segments to conceal their work. Behind the rear wall of the cells is a utility corridor that had locked steel doors at either end. The three men climbed the utility pipes to the top of the cell block and gained access to the roof through an air vent. The men had previously bent the iron bars that blocked the air vent. They then climbed down a drain pipe on the northern end of the cell house and made their way to the water. It is believed they left from the northeast side of the island near the powerhouse quartermaster building. They used prison-issued raincoats to make crude life vests and a pontoon-type raft to assist in their swim. A cell house search turned up the drills, heads, wall segments, and other tools, while the water search found two life vests, one in the bay and other outside the Golden Gate, oars and letters and photographs belonging to the Englands that had been carefully wrapped to be watertight, but no sign of the men was found. Several weeks later, a man's body dressed in blue clothing similar to the prison uniform was found a short distance up the coast from San Francisco, but the body was too badly deteriorated to be identified. Morris and the Englands are officially listed as missing and presumed drowned.
Wow.
What a mystery. 1962, a dish best served cold. December 16th, 1962. Okay, so yeah, this was right before they closed it down. So this is the final escape attempt. John Paul Scott and Darl Parker bent the bars of a kitchen window in the cell house basement, climbed out, and made their way down to the water. Parker was discovered on a small outcropping of rock a short distance from the island. Scott attempted to swim towards San Francisco, but the currents began pulling him out to sea. He was found by several teenagers on the rocks near Fort Point, beneath the Golden Gate Bridge, and was taken to the military hospital at the Presidio Army Base, suffering from shock and hypothermia before being returned to Alcatraz. Good try. Prison closure. On March 21st, 1963, USP Alcatraz closed after 29 years of operation. It did not close because of the disappearance of Morris and the Englands. The decision to close the prison was made long before the three disappeared. Because the institution was too expensive to continue operating, that's why they closed it. An estimated $3 to $5 million was needed to restoration and maintenance work to keep the prison open. That figure did not include daily operating costs. Alcatraz was nearly three times more expensive to operate than any other federal prison. In 1959, the daily per capita cost of Alcatraz was $10.10, compared with the $3 at USP Atlanta. The major expense was caused by the physical isolation of the island. The exact reason islands have been used as prisons throughout history. This isolation meant that everything, food, supplies, water, fuel, had to be brought to Alcatraz by boat. For example, the island had no source of fresh water, so nearly 1 million gallons of water had to be barged to the island each week. The federal government found that it was more cost-effective to build a new institution than to keep Alcatraz open. After the prison closed, Alcatraz was basically abandoned. Many ideas were proposed for the island, including a monument to the United Nations, a West Coast version of the Statue of Liberty, and a shopping center hotel complex. In 1969, the island again made news when a group of Native American Indians claimed Alcatraz as Indian land with the hope of creating a Native American cultural center and education complex on the island. The Indians of all tribes, in quotes, used their act of civil disobedience to illustrate the troubles faced by Native Americans. Initially, public support for the Native Americans' cause was strong, and thousands of people, general public, school children, celebrities, hippies, Vietnam War protesters, Hell's Angels, came to the island over the next 18 months. Unfortunately, the small Native American leadership group could not control the situation, and much damage occurred. Graffiti, vandalism, and a fire that destroyed the lighthouse keeper's home, the warden's home, and the officers' club. In June of 1971, federal marshals removed the remaining Native Americans from the island. Alcatraz today. In 1972, Congress created the Golden Gate National Recreation Area, and Alcatraz Island was included as part of the new National Park Service Unit. The island opened to the public in the fall of 1973 and has become one of the most popular Park Service sites. More than 1 million visitors from around the world visit the island each year. Cool. So yeah, now it's a national landmark and a state park. Like, rangers are the ones who like run and operate it and stuff. And they give tours. They give night tours.
Yeah, I've seen, I think I saw like a YouTube thing one time of someone doing the walkthrough of that.
It's mixed these days. I think they're not rebranding, but it depends, I guess, who you talk to, if they're willing to say, like, yeah, this place is haunted. Because it's either it'll bring more people and they don't want it to, or they just don't want that kind of attention on like a national landmark. But yeah, it's haunted is what people are saying. So that's where we're heading now that we got the history, which I didn't even say. There's like so much information on the actual land and prison and everything, more details on who, like Commander so-and-so, and then the Civil War, they started using it for, because I mean, it's built like a little military base on an island. So so anyways, but I didn't want to bore you all the tears because we're here to talk about ghosts today. So there were escape attempts, so that sucks for people who didn't get to get off that island, because I'm pretty sure they were being haunted too. That's why they're trying to get out of there. So yeah, ever since it was it's been closed, it has remained a significant landmark and a tourist must-see when traveling to the San Francisco area. The amount of security that this location could offer, it made the public feel safe. Like, oh, the most dangerous people, you know, are pretty much in a moat, like, because there's ocean all around them, so they're going to come get us. And then the prisoners, it was meant to make them feel like hopeless, like, okay, well, yeah, the land's right there, but just you try it.
Yeah.
See what happens. Ladies and gentle days, allow me to introduce you to The Rock, except this one won't be singing You're Welcome.
Oh, that was cute, though.
That was what I was going to say earlier. Thank you. The island seems to moan and chant welcome to visitors open to the experience. However, did the inmates hear things go bump in the night? And the answer is yes'm, absolutely. And yes'm was a typo that I left in.
That's fucking cute, Abby.
Thank you. The funny thing about time is that it keeps going in the land of the living. Ranger John Cantwell of the U.S. National Park Service stated that there are layers of history on this landmark, and with the rich and dark history of this location, and it's clear to see how many different cycles or generations of spirits or energies may have come in and even out by the time we were born. Could you imagine? Just cycles of different kinds of ghosts being like, well, we're done here now. Time to move on. weird to think about. Because I kind of like to think that a ghost just always stays. Like, if they weren't at peace when they died, I don't know if they ever will be. But who's to say there weren't a couple of nice people that cleansed the prison a couple of times, maybe was able to free a couple of them. They can go move on in life or death, I should say. But yeah, there's definitely still stuff out there. And I wanted to ask, have you seen The Haunting of Hill House?
I have.
The Netflix show. Mm-hmm. Gosh, never have I seen a haunting portrayed through time like that. It's like heartbreaking. That
shit was, yeah.
And really scary, because like they're trying to understand, and like you watching it are like, you understand it, but you can't tell them and they don't know. So it's like scarier for them. I don't know. Mm-hmm. To see that go down like that. So they're trying to make sense of it. And then there's a ghost story. Have you heard of that movie? It's with Casey Affleck.
I don't think I've heard of that.
That one is really sad. I've tried to finish it at least three different times, but it just makes me sad, so I turn it off. But ghosts can get lonely is something I guess I hadn't really seen before in a movie.
I knew that from a book called Remember Me.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, because this girl's just fucking roaming around. She's a ghost, mm-hmm. but she's just roaming around, and there's nobody to talk to until she...
Isn't that sad?
Yeah, it's a little depressing.
Right? Yeah. So I guess picturing it from that end is like really different too. But imagine being a fly on the wall the one time that Al Capone is trying to take a shit and a ghost starts messing with him and he gets all scared. Those are things I try to imagine. But anyways, luckily for us, we can read a few testimonials from beyond the grave in the way that these guys are long gone, but they experienced Alcatraz haunts themselves. So with that being said, let's read a couple of those. And this is on alcatrazexperience.com, where you can book your tour. 5 haunting stories of Alcatraz told by former inmates. Alcatraz Island, also known as The Rock, is one of America's most famous prisons. Located in the middle of San Francisco Bay, the prison was in operation for nearly 3 decades, housing some of the country's most notorious criminals. Despite being closed for over 50 years, the prison's stories and legends continue to intrigue visitors from around the world. Among those stories are the haunting tales of former inmates who endured the prison's harsh conditions and eerie atmosphere. Okay, so here's 5 stories. Robert Stroud, also known as the Birdman of Alcatraz, spent 17 years in solitary confinement. In his book, The Birdman of Alcatraz, he described his experience as a living death.
That sounds terrible.
Stroud, right? Stroud claimed to hear strange sounds and voices in his cell and said that he often felt like he was being watched. Mm-mm. William G. Baker was a former Alcatraz inmate who served time on the island during the 1940s. He described the prison as a place of suffering and claimed that he heard the ghostly cries of men who had died in the prison's violent past. Baker said that he felt a constant sense of dread during his time on the Rock.
Jesus.
Ew, dread. Dread is not fun to feel if it's just hanging in the air all day long every day.
Yeah, no, thank you.
Oof. Jim Quillen, who served time on Alcatraz from 1942 to 1945, described the prison as a living nightmare. He claimed that he saw the ghost of a former inmate who had been killed in the prison's laundry room. Quillen also reported hearing strange moaning and groaning sounds coming from the walls. Mm-mm. Well, I mean, no, I'm just kidding. I shouldn't. Hey, don't ask, don't tell. Okay. Henry Young was a former Alcatraz inmate who was the subject of the movie Murder in the First. Young spent 3 years in solitary confinement and claimed that he was visited by the ghost of Rufus McCain, a fellow inmate who had been killed in the prison. Young said that he saw McCain's ghost several times and even had conversations with him. Mm-mm. Frank Weatherman served time on Alcatraz in the early 1940s. In his book, My 12 Years on Alcatraz, he described the prison as a place of evil. Mm. Weatherman claimed that he heard ghostly footsteps in the halls and saw the ghostly figure of a former guard who had died on the island.
Jesus.
Mm-mm-mm. And then comes, as of the supernatural happenings of today, the same site which booked tours, by the way, has provided some events to read. So going back to that same website here. three famous ghosts that haunt Alcatraz Island, and I will be posting these photos on our Instagram. Alcatraz is an island located in the San Francisco Bay, California, that served a federal high-security prison for almost 30 years, 1934 to 1963. During this time, many famous prisoners were incarcerated there, including Al Capone and Robert Stroud, known as the Birdman of Alcatraz. However, Alcatraz has also known to be haunted by ghosts, some of which have been reported by prison guards, visitors, and island workers. In this article, we'll explore three of the most famous ghosts that haunt Alcatraz. Number one, the man in cell 14D. One of the most famous ghosts of Alcatraz is that of the man in cell 14D. According to prison guards, this cell was one of the most haunted in the entire prison. Strange phenomena have been reported in this cell, such as the sound of chains and muffled knocks on the walls. Mm-hmm. Some guards have even reported seeing a ghostly figure in the cell.
Absolutely not.
Imagine that. Hey, man, we're closed. Oh, shit.
Like, it just sounds horrendous that you'd have to, that you're stuck in there and now.
Surrounded by water.
Yeah. And now there's a fucking ghost in there with you. Like,
mm-hmm.
No, thank
you. And, the sound of metal always gets me because, like, if a paper falls or something, okay, fine, it's a piece of paper. But if metal is clanging around, it's like, okay, there's something moving around.
Yes.
Moving things that want to be noticed. So, yeah. It is said that the man who haunts this cell was a prisoner who was placed in solitary confinement in cell 14D for acting violently towards other inmates and prison guards. He was found dead in his cell, apparently from natural causes, but some believe he was murdered. Since his death, his spirit is said to have continued to haunt the cell. Mm-hmm. Number two, the Lady in Green. Another famous ghost of Alcatraz is that of the Lady in Green. According to reports, this ghostly woman is often seen in the washroom of the former apartment of the prison warden, located on the Alcatraz Hill. She is described as a woman in her 40s with brown hair and wearing a green dress. It is said that the Lady in Green was the wife of the prison warden who committed suicide on the island while her husband was working at Alcatraz. Since then, she has been haunting the place and is often seen looking out of the washroom window.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, the ghost of the Birdman of Alcatraz. The third famous ghost of Alcatraz is that of Robert Stroud, known as the Birdman of Alcatraz. Stroud spent more than 17 years in solitary confinement for murdering a prison guard at another facility where he was incarcerated. During his stay at Alcatraz, Stroud raised birds in his cell and became an expert in ornithology. It is said that since his death in 1963, Stroud's spirit haunts the island. Some visitors to Alcatraz have reported seeing a man fitting Stroud's description in and around the former hospital, where he spent most of his time at the prison. Mm-hmm.
We've heard a lot about this motherfucker, like...
Stroud, I know. He was there a long time. He was at a few places a long time. And then he was killing while he was in there. It's like he couldn't stop. I don't know. Weird. It's like once you're in prison, you're just going to... I guess some people have that mentality that are like, I'm already in here anyways. I'm being punished.
So. Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Golly. So I will say, because I watched Shane and Ryan... on YouTube recently again, so that's what gave me this idea to do Alcatraz, but they're the best thing or one of the best things to come out of BuzzFeed on YouTube because they're just so enjoyable. They're a team that ghost hunts on YouTube under the new network/channel Watcher, and they do this thing called Ghost Files where people write in and they want a certain place investigated and they give like what they experienced there and then they get to decide to go investigate that place. And so I watched their Alcatraz investigation that they did in 2022, and it's pretty good. Mm-hmm. I recommend it. They show some photos where apparitions were caught, which I will be sharing on the Instagram, and they catch a few EVPs. There's a map and like there's names for all of the locations in the prison. In the Broadway corridor where there's like cells on both sides and like upstairs on both sides,
mm-hmm.
they caught some whispers, and then they went to the hospital wing. And they used a device called the Ovilus, and this device takes environmental readings that spirits are said to manipulate, like temperature or magnetic fields, and it converts that energy into words and phrases.
Mm-mm.
Which, in other words, that's fucking terrifying, whatever comes out of that machine.
That fucking, nope.
Yeah, it just talks. It ran it like, it's, I don't know, it's weird. But at one point, the device said, they look scared. Right? Like, they're being watched. Like, oh, yeah. Shit. And then the device went on to say the words murder, recuse, again, cards, and skip. And they told a story of one of the areas of the prison that this guy, Curly Thomas, stabbed Joseph Barsock in the barbershop with scissors in the neck. And it was said that they were lovers, but I don't know if that was ever a solid thing or not. But and to refresh y'all's memory, because I've mentioned these guys before, Ryan is like, he believes in everything and he is so scared most of the time. And then Shane is like an atheist and he doesn't believe anything. So he's pretty much there to like heckle Ryan and heckle the ghosts without being afraid of anything, which can make things kind of interesting sometimes. I don't know. If one of us was a non-believer, do you think that would calm you down or no? If I was like, no, that's nothing. That's just...
No.
It wouldn't. Right? Yeah. I was going to say, unfortunately, we would both be freaking out as a team if we heard something.
Yes. Yeah. There's... Yeah.
Definitely a ghost. Definitely a ghost.
I feel like you have no idea what the hell is going on either. So please...
I don't know. I think just the idea of us being alone in there and hearing something would be the thing to freak me out. Not necessarily jumping to the idea that everything's a ghost. You know what I mean?
Yes. But yeah.
Just the idea that you and I are looking at each other. And if you're not touching something and I'm not touching something, then what's making noise? Like,
honestly, I would probably try to rationalize it first.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then be like, holy shit, it is a ghost.
Right. I do appreciate whenever ghost hunters debunk, like say a door slams or something, and they go check it out and see, okay, like there's a window there. Yes. Let's try to see if it slams again. And then if it does, they're like, okay, wrote that one off. Yes. I don't know. I respect that. I respect. Because, I mean, of course, everybody wants to make everything, every single thing that happens, the most scariest thing that is for sure evidence. But it turns people away who aren't necessarily believers. So, anyways, I like those two. They're pretty funny. But, yeah, unfortunately, we would both be freaking out because we both believe in stuff, which once again, I don't know if being an atheist and like wanting to believe in supernatural is like hypocritical. Do you think that is or no?
I think that might be a little bit.
Just kind of. I mean, I could say like I don't necessarily believe in God the way that like Christians do, but I definitely believe there's something going on.
Okay. I thought that was called something else, not an atheist.
I'm like secular, I guess, like a secular atheist where I don't participate in stuff, but I'm not like against other people for the most part.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, participating, like I'll hear about it or whatever. If I'm invited to do something, I'm not going to be like disrespectful, but I don't know. Like I said, I don't know if religion, but that's the thing with like logic versus faith, like the two shouldn't really cross. I don't know how to explain that. Like it, for instance, if Jeremy got really sick and he was being weird, your first thing would be like, let's take him to the hospital, not let's go to church and give him an exorcism. Oh, yeah,
5,000%. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah.
Like some people have had their kid, like they've killed their kids thinking it was an exorcism that they needed to be doing.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's where I'm like, all right, let's fucking chill. This is scary. Or people who see demons and everybody's just like, yeah, that for sure was a demon. I'm like, we're going to cause someone to get stabbed here. Like,
yes. Yeah.
Let's go to the hospital and talk to a doctor. Because then once all that, just like with the debunking, like once all that logical stuff's out of the way, then it's like, oh shit, this is for real. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
It would be even scarier if you think about it.
Don't do that to me.
Anyway, the most active part of the prison housed the most violent of the criminals because, you know, hence solitary confinement, you're in trouble, you cannot be around another person type deal. Mm-hmm. So cell block D. And in that cell block, you find the hole, which is the worst and coldest area of the prison cell. 14D is one of five solitary confinement cells that made up the hole. And one inmate may have died of supernatural causes, which we already discussed, that apparition or ghost that is still hanging out in 14D. He claimed that he could see glowing red eyes while he was in there, like he was shouting for help.
Mm-hmm.
And he was left screaming in his cell for hours, and the next day he was found dead. He had bulging eyes, a purple face, and marks on his neck as if he was strangled.
Absolutely not.
Right? I mean, I don't know. Somebody did something to him, even if it wasn't a demon.
Yeah.
Could it have been another inmate or a living person that killed him? Or could it have been something not of this world that led to his demise? Okay, so yeah. So have you been there? Would you go there? Have you seen it? Questions, comments?
I would go there, but I'm not sure how I'd feel about it. Actually, no, I wouldn't go there because you have to get on a ferry to get there, right?
Yeah, they put you on like this little boat to get across.
No, not doing that.
It's only a mile. We could swim, make it to the shore.
We could swim. Yeah, no.
It's not that bad. I actually have seen Alcatraz pretty close from a boat. One spring break in middle school, my parents took us to Monterey Bay and San Francisco, and we got to go on a little boat ride with like little headphones on that told us about like the Golden Gate Bridge and Alcatraz and stuff. It was pretty cool.
That was about to say that is kind of cool.
And yeah, we went under the Golden Gate. It was huge and majestic. And as we passed Alcatraz, what I remember is it was very big. Like, it just looks so expansive, even for it being like a small little island, because it's not like a huge piece of land or anything. Yeah. But it just looks eerie because it's a small piece of land that looks like something is occupying every surface just because it looks like so busy. Like, there's a building on each piece of the surface area, it looks like. So it being abandoned and like old looking, it's just creepy looking at.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It just looks like it should be busy and bustling, but it ain't. Mm.
Yeah, that would like creep me out.
Right? It looks run down.
I do think it's cool though that your parents took you.
Right? Little historical things. Yeah. We would try to go do stuff like that.
My dad would do something like that too. I just couldn't do the ferry ride, even though it's a short, I don't know. Maybe I could, but I don't know.
With a group of people on a nice day.
I wouldn't do it at night. Yeah, that's where.
No, yeah. I want to say I was reading comments on Reddit, and I heard that if you get caught, like, trying to stay on the island, they make you pay for your own, like, water ferry or whatever, water taxi, and it's, like, $1,000 for them to come get your ass in the middle of the night like that. So don't get caught trespassing. So, the real question here is, does misery and desperation breed something demons can feed on? Has something been manifested here?
Yes.
I mean, for this place, it may have felt like hell on earth, which a couple of the inmates mentioned. So, it could feel like home to some darker entities, like, oh, this is perfect.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Cozy. I mean, yeah, they're just kind of passing by, and then they, do I smell misery and regret?
Yeah.
And then they're kind of like, oh, yeah, let's stick around here and soak this all in. Sucks. But anyways, finally, since I'm not sure when the next time we're going to discuss prisons, let's talk about Orange Is the New Black to close out this.
Okay.
A fun little revisiting, if you will, of Orange Is the New Black. Because a few of these, like, riots and stuff reminded me of that when they, like, told her to shoot the guard and she accidentally kills him and just like ruins everything. Yep. Like, damn. Because, I wanted to end on a fun note rather than discussing the unjust way that we fill up our prisons and run them here in the United States.
Yeah, we sure do a shitty job.
We gotta fix that. Did you like Orange Is the New Black? Did you watch it all in one sitting? Did it take you years? Did you finish it when everybody else finished it or what?
I didn't get to finish, but I know how it ends.
I do that to myself all the time.
Yes. I watched it as it was coming out, but I loved it. At first, I did not because fucking Piper.
She's so annoying.
She is fucking so annoying. And I just could not. But then they started doing other characters.
And then they give their backstory and then your heart just breaks all over again. Like, damn.
Yes.
I agree with you.
And I thought I was gonna die.
Because why? Of all the people.
I know. And the end is so
devastating.
Yes, like Once I heard that it was not like necessarily a happy ending, I was like,
you did not want to see. No, it's like,
so I can't do that to myself.
Like, I'd rather keep the happy memories.
Apparently, there's a show similar to it called Wentworth.
Oh, for real?
I've watched a little bit of it, and it is actually very entertaining. It's almost like Orange is the New Black, only I don't think it concentrates on one single person like it did for Piper for a minute. I think that one was really good. I think it's a UK show. UK or Australia? Their accents are similar, or like there's people that speak in both accents on the show, so I'm not entirely sure.
What else is Prison Break. Isn't that a big one that people love? I've never seen a single.
I've never seen it either, but I heard people were obsessed because that dude is really cute.
Speaking of cute, he's just got nice eyes. who's your favorite character on Orange is the New Black and least favorite?
My favorite would have to be Red. Or, what the fuck was her name? The lady that ends up taking Red's position.
Oh, fuck. I'm about to look up it's been that long, guys.
It's been a long time.
Which is so sad, because that was such a good show. It had everybody hooked. Yeah, we were always all talking about it.
The lady that I'm talking about, she plays George Lopez's ex-wife in Lopez versus Lopez.
I see. Yeah, I picture her. I just can't believe I don't remember. Here it comes. Gloria.
Gloria. Yep, I loved her.
Her backstory pissed me off so much with that asshole that lit her shit on fire. Like, damn. That made me laugh so much, though, when she was like, that guy comes back because he's mad he didn't get the job. And she's like, you lit the candles, right? And filled out the application. He's like, yes. And she's like, did you turn in the application? He's like, no.
Yes, I do remember that shit.
You got to help yourself. Like, you can't do everything.
I do. I think that might be one of the reasons why I really liked her too, because of that.
Yeah. She had a strong culture. So I could assume that you would be joining that group of Latinas. Yes, then
I did like them.
They scared me, but I would have to just have to do it. Cause I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't like, what's her name? I didn't like Daya, and I did not like her mom.
Oh, well, no. Yeah. Her mom was very trifling.
Yes, she was. And Daya was just a fucking idiot. So I was like, I can't.
Oh, yeah. Their relationship at home and her boyfriends and her mom. And stuff like,
and then, I don't know. She was just fucking stupid. And then at the end, she's also stupid. So I don't know. Mm-mm. I just couldn't stand them too. But the rest, I liked Maritza and I forgot what the goth one's name.
Jackie. Cruz is the actress. Marisol.
Marisol.
They would call Flaca and somebody else, right? They had like nicknames. I could swear that.
Yeah, she was Flaca. That was her.
Okay, got it.
And Maritza. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was a Marisol, was it? It's Maritza.
I mean, that's her name on the cast list.
What the fuck?
Weird. But what about the guards? Did you have any favorite guards?
Before he fucked everything up, Diaz dude,
Bennett. Bennett.
And
then he lift.
Yes, the big guy and his girlfriend that ends up being his wife.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Those I like them.
I like them too.
But that was about it. I think I kind of liked Tasty. Oh,
yes.
Nikki was my absolute favorite.
Oh, yeah.
Nikki.
She kept everything fun and light.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. That other sad storyline with the blonde one. What was her name? Let me find it. The one that OD'd in the closet
That's right. And she ended up being in The Handmaid's Tale.
Yes. Oh, my God. Yeah, exactly. Her. her story made me sad too. Like she was trying to be a good person. Like she was trying to better herself and then it just didn't work out. Trisha was her name.
Yeah, Trish. Mm-hmm.
Damn.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, Susan, her story kills me. Crazy Eyes is what they...
Yeah. Yeah, her story Suzanne. Was sad. Suzanne.
I did not expect it to get that fucking dark. Yeah,
she just wanted friends.
That kid fell out the dang window. Mm-hmm. Boo. Boo was pretty funny, too, until she started trying to backstab people.
Yeah, I liked her. Big Boo and her dog.
That was so fun. Mm-hmm. They had the dog. Obviously, Sophia. Oh, my goodness. Some trans representation in a prison system.
Yeah.
Which was very eye-opening and good for, I think, the public to see. Like, oh, wow. Like,
yeah,
I don't know.
I
it
agree.
Was just a different way of playing it out on there.
Mm-hmm.
Taryn Manning. Oh, my God. Doggett. Her. She cracks me up. Her fucking character.
Oh, my God. Panzatucky or whatever the fuck they called her.
The only time I took her ass serious was when she was that angel that had a shank in the yard with Piper out there.
Oh, my God.
Like, somebody's about to get stabbed on accident.
Oh, shit.
You're going to hate me, but I had a crush on Caputo, and I had a crush on Pornstash.
No, you did not. Pornstash has been a creeper in every fucking movie I've seen him in.
That he's been.
Yes. And Caputo, liked him, but I didn't like, and I just
when
realized
fucking that lady. I was like, dang,
yes. And he's like, see you next Tuesday. And I was like, what the
Natalie?
Fuck? Yes,
when he had her give him a blowjob and then didn't hold up his end of the
so fucking
she's evil.
Crazy. She was really fucking evil.
It was sad though that her husband was on the DL,
yeah.
I'm telling you.
You just made me realize, though, that the maintenance guy at the apartments that I clean, he looks exactly like Caputo. only Mexican instead.
Tell him I said, hey, and I'm just...
No, I will not.
You're like, I will absolutely not be doing that. Did he keep a plant on his desk?
Oh, my God. He's funny, That's though. Funny. He's old man, or an older man, too. But he's got, like, teeth missing and shit. Like, no. I love him, though. He gets a little creepy after he has a couple beers, but I love him.
Of course. That's cute. I love how we're just like feeding into patriarchy, like, oh, that's just
yes.
It's okay.
Well,
I'm not saying like
uncle,
well.
Which is not good, but at the same time.
It's just so weird how we just moved on. Like, oh yeah, anyways. That's
yeah.
Cool.
He's no. If I found out that he, oh my God.
No, yeah. That see, we have to wait till it's more serious before we're like, excuse me, sir, you need to relax.
God damn it. I
hate myself. Anyways, we're working on it, okay?
Yes, we are.
sort of.
Sort of.
Norma, when she sang at that Christmas thing,
oh,
I was like,
yeah,
it brought a little tear to my eye. She doesn't speak ever.
Yeah.
Then we find out because she freaking killed that cult leader. That was a cool little backstory for her.
That was a trip.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm going to need to rewatch because I need women, like shows about women from different backgrounds again. Like I just need that.
Yeah.
In front of me. But anyways, that's a fun time. My favorites, I would have to say, are definitely it's hard because I really like Nikki a lot, but I really like Poussey.
Yeah.
Between the two of them. They're just so diverse. That's the other good thing about this show is like there's no one that's the same blueprint of the same character. Like, okay, there's a lot to each character, and they just kept building on it, so that was nice. Lorna broke my heart, too, because
her ass
was delusional.
Yeah, she was... The end of her story was incredibly sad. Incredibly
like, what
sad.
The hell? Mm-hmm. She, like, she can't have anything, really? Like, damn. She wasn't even that bad of a person. She kept everybody like perked up and with her red lipstick on, like dang. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. One of my other favorite parts too was when oh my goodness, the lady with cancer, I can't believe I'm forgetting her name right now. She escapes.
Oh, damn it. What was her name? It was in one of the earlier seasons, right?
Yes, because then she's never seen.
Yes.
Well,
she was the nun or the priest or. No, not the priest. What the fuck?
She was Piper's roommate. Miss Rosa. Jesus Christ.
Oh, Miss yes. Rosa. I did mm-hmm. love her. She was the. Her backstory was.
They would rob banks or something.
Yes, I loved her.
That was cool as fuck. Yeah. Because, I mean, the other stuff was like smaller crimes, but that felt like a really cool like crime. Mm-hmm. Like, oh shit, I'm in prison for fucking robbing banks. Like, okay.
I did like that they added Lori Petty's character because I love Lori Petty because of Tank Girl.
Mm.
Have you seen that movie? I think you should watch it.
No.
It's really good. I love Tank Girl stuff because of Jeremy. Cool. But he introduced it. She's a comic book character. And
so oh, Lori Petty plays Lolly. Oh, yeah. That was a trip, too, because she was like, the CIA, this and that.
Yes.
Alex is like, you've got to relax. But then somebody was there to kill Alex. Remember that shit?
Yeah, that guy. What the hell was
and Lolly shows up at the right fucking time. She could have been killed. That was crazy as fuck. Anyways, yeah, Red is very admirable because she's bringing in stuff that the girls want, you know, because I mean, what's a girl without having what she wants while she's in there? Some mascara, some snacks.
Yep. Yep.
The little joys of life that we take advantage of out here in the open. Take for granted, I mean. Which we shouldn't. But anyways, that concludes our episode for today, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. A little history, a little ghosts, a little fun, a little bit of media thrown in there to discuss. And I did find a couple Reddit stories, but I just didn't include it in this one because they weren't long enough or worth it. But I don't know. Alcatraz has some secrets. And I'm going to look more into that on my own just for fun. But the idea of a haunted prison is just so scary. Like we were discussing, the dread that hangs in the air, it mm-hmm. just comes with a feeling. Even people who don't believe, from what I could tell on the Reddit comments, they felt something in the air, whether it was something supernatural or not. It is a very bleak place to go.
Yeah.
However, very full of history, very cool. So it's a landmark. Remember that next time you're in San Fran and go check it out. Don't forget to give us a follow on Instagram, GIMME The Creeps. I will be posting some ghost photos from Alcatraz on there, and we can be judge for ourselves whether they look real or not. Anyways, thanks for joining us, guys. We'll catch you next time.
So, did we give you the creeps?